The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, hi, Bob here to tell you about the best soap in the universe. It's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. February is Think Spring Month at BubbleGenius.com. Mardi Gras is right around the corner, so go to BubbleGenius.com for their Fay Dodo Fleur-de-Lis Soap on a Rope. It's a fleur-de-lis-shaped soap in a burnished gold color attached to purple beaded Mardi Gras rope. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code BobAndChez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Bob, the meeting is now in order. We all know that the McGillicuddy girls gave a party the other day, and not one of us was invited. Now what do you say if we form a new club and call it the He-Man Woman Haters Club? Now I think we ought to have a president. Now the man we elect must be the worst woman hater of us all. So I nominate Alfalfa, because he hates women.
We're having fun because we're number one, and the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world, singing up and down the dial.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
This is an outrage. I demand an investigation. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
It is Thursday, February 11, 2016. And this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
Hi. One of those days. I gotta clear my throat here at the beginning of the show. We're brought to you every week by BubbleGenius.com. Every damn show. It's the best soap in the world. Thanks for supporting BubbleGenius.com. Also, we're brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Or just hang out at the pool in Hollywood and he'll be there.
Yeah.
Head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page. Get free legal advice from our man, Charles Bowen. Okay. I'm in one of those moods today because I rolled out of bed, turned on my computer, I looked at Facebook, and I saw something. Yeah. I
saw, got really, really angry.
That's exactly right. It was just one of those things where I was just like, no! I just start screaming at my computer screen. It was one of those things.
Oh, yeah. Every day. Every minute of every day. Except for when I'm watching porn.
Just,
and that's a different kind of screen.
It's very different. And completely unrelated to the thing that I read on Facebook, which is just absolutely obscene. You know, we're going to get to that in just a second. Hate to be a tease. Speaking of porn, hate to be a tease. But we're going to talk about that in a second. What I saw on Facebook was just egregious. I guess here at the top of the show, we'll get this over with before we get into the meat and potatoes of today's program. But the 40-day Oregon standoff is over.
And you buried the lead, because the best part about it is that Cliven Bundy is under arrest.
Yep.
And facing a whole slew of federal charges going all the way back to 2014 and beyond that, actually.
Yes, indeed.
He's finally facing charges for the land grab, yeah. for pulling a weapon on federal agents, for conspiracy. It's a beautiful thing. I was awake when they arrested him last night. I was loving, like, seeing that come across my feed, loving every second of it.
Oh, my God. It's a brilliant, brilliant piece of news. Cliven Bundy arrested. The other guys, the last remaining militiamen, whatever you want to call them, the military cosplayers in Oregon, finally gave up. 40 days too late, as far as
that
I'm concerned.
That means that fat baby, you know, the screaming guy.
Dan, show the truth! Show the truth!
Yeah, right.
That guy's in jail now.
Oh, my God.
That kind of crap.
Yeah, of course.
Come get some. That's right.
Yeah, come get some.
Get here! Get some!
Come get some. Yes, from this fat, fatigued piece of shit.
Get some!
Yeah, dude. Come get some what? Come get some Malamars.
So, here's the deal. The final holdouts in the armed occupation of a wildlife refuge in eastern Oregon surrendered peacefully Thursday morning, ending a 40-day standoff. But not until one anti-government militant stalled long past the others, airing a range of grievances and conspiracy theories, saying he was suicidal and suggesting that he would rather die than go to prison. Three of the four remaining occupiers...
That could be arranged.
Yeah. They walked out to FBI agents over the course of a few minutes after 9:30 a.m. local time with their hands in the air, calling out that they were unarmed. One, Sean Anderson, held an American flag in one hand and clasped and raised the hand of his wife, Sandy, in the other as they surrendered. Another, Jeff Banta.
The Daily Banta.
Followed a few minutes later. But the last holdout, David Fry, grew agitated and said at first that he would not leave. In an extraordinary exchange streamed live online to thousands of people listening, Mr. Fry argued with supporters who urged him to give himself up, while at the same time he could be heard negotiating with FBI agents on another phone. I'm actually feeling suicidal right now, said Mr. Fry, 27, who lives in Ohio. It's liberty or death. I will not go another day as a slave to the system. He railed against taxpayer money being used for abortions and drone strikes in Pakistan. Said bankers were to blame for the world wars, complained of being unable to obtain medical marijuana in his home state.
And how absolutely amazing is that? Let's think for a moment. When you think of these guys, what side of the political spectrum do you imagine them being on?
Yeah, right.
Think about it.
Yeah. I mean,
they're off to the right. They're the far right.
Exactly.
Why do they sound to me like 90% of Bernie Sanders supporters? I hate to bring up Sanders right off the bat.
Yeah.
But those are the same complaints.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's exactly the same group, but there is, you know, we have talked about this before, where the far left and the far right are so extreme that they actually end up meeting each other. They actually end up circling the globe to connect at the other side.
That's it exactly. Yeah.
This guy also accused the government of suppressing breakthrough inventions and concealing UFOs and chemically castrating everybody. You know who it sounds like.
Scum!
Yep,
yeah, you people are sick.
Because you know that's where this idiot got it from.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know he is a diehard listener.
He said right before he surrendered, I declare war against the federal government.
Okay.
I've peacefully voted and nothing is ever done. You know, that's the whole thing. That's Alex Jones's whole thing.
Scum!
Which Glenn Beck has co-opted. This whole idea that we have to have a revolution because voting doesn't work, the system doesn't work anymore. There has to be a revolution.
That sounds like the college kids who and what they want. We're going to talk about this, I know, later.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it's because I've been writing about this and it's kind of fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the college kids who scream for no good reason. Well, I voted. Don't I get what I want just by casting a vote?
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't fucking work that way.
Right. I signed a petition online. Why isn't it happening?
Yeah. But wait a second. I just signed this thing that this guy had on a clipboard out in front of Whole Foods. Doesn't that make it happen?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Sure it does. It's so frustrating. And we might as well get into that, too. But one thing jumped out at me. I mean, obviously in this slew of conspiracy theories, but this guy, David Fry, said something to the effect that his taxpayer dollars are going to fund abortions. And then I thought of something I saw last night online, which is a trailer for a new documentary called The Brainwashing of My Dad. And I got really thinking about this. This is a documentary it's like a family story. It's by this filmmaker. God, I can't remember her name. It's terrible of me. I can't remember this woman's name. But the documentary is called The Brainwashing of My Dad, and it's about this woman's dad who used to be a Kennedy Democrat and then started listening to Rush Limbaugh and watching Fox News Channel and has essentially become a racist zealot And just to the point where it seems like he's entirely brainwashed. And we all know these kind of people.
It's that article that ran, was it at Salon? It was the article that I lost my dad to Fox News.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And there have been an entire population of upper middle-aged white men who have been brainwashed by the conservative entertainment complex. And the question in this documentary is, and it was really riveting, and this is one of the reasons I want to see it. She wants to make an attempt to deprogram her father. I don't see if that actually works. Because if it does, wow. That'd be like, not quite this extreme, but it'd be almost like curing cancer. Figure out a way to bring these people back to objective reality in some way. And personally, I don't see it happening. Because I think, one of the main justifications for Roger Ailes starting up Fox News Channel is he wanted to instruct people how to think. Like, we're gonna do the thinking for you. And it's been presented in such a strategically brilliant way. And I say brilliant in a more pejorative sense than complimentary sense, that it has wrapped up otherwise intelligent people. People who are well-educated. People who should know better. People who have had very middle-of-the-road backgrounds suddenly are pushed through this meat grinder of Fox News Channel and the conservative entertainment complex, and they come out the other side talking like this guy David Frye.
Sure. Well, what you get is you watch Fox News, and Fox News begins to tell you, not begins to tell you, they say it all the time, Fox News essentially preaches to you that it is the only trustworthy place.
That's right.
You can't go anywhere else. I mean, I think I might have said this before. That's a conversation that I had one time with Carol Costello at CNN.
Yeah.
Where she was really like, she was trying to figure out why it is that Fox News, why their ratings are so great. She's like, I don't understand that. I'm like, because when you watch Fox News, that's all you watch.
Yeah.
There aren't people watch CNN, they watch MSNBC, they tune in, especially CNN, they tune in for 15 minutes, 20 minutes at a time, an hour maybe.
Yeah.
You know, an hour tops. That's actually the average turnover rate. I think mornings on CNN is 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not how Fox News people are, though. When they watch Fox News, it's like it's on all day. It's all they watch. They don't go anywhere else. They don't move around looking for other outlets, for other sources of information, because Fox News specifically tells them you don't need to go anywhere. Not only do you not need to go anywhere else, you shouldn't go anywhere else.
That's right. By the way, the director of this documentary is named Jen Senko, and it's actually co-produced by Matthew Modine. Believe it or not. So it's, the trailer looked just utterly fascinating. And it really, to me, related directly to these Oregon guys who you have to wonder, where do they get this? Where do they get the idea? The ridiculous, like, little rascal storyline idea where they're going to form their own little government out in the middle of the tundra in Oregon, taking over some visitor center at a wildlife refuge and then expecting that to turn into a shadow government and a kangaroo court. And then they're going to start putting local officials on trial, and they've got their military there, and they've got their dildos.
Yeah. And not only expecting that, by the way, but also expecting that if it all comes to an end, I listened to some of that YouTube stream last night, the phone call. It was broadcast for like 5 hours. I listened to a good portion of it. It was lunacy.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Because one of the things that kept coming up again that you sort of realized was these people genuinely believe that they're not going to, that they shouldn't go to jail when they walk out. That they believe that, like, they're going to walk out and the feds are just going to go, okay, you can go on your way now and you can take your guns with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I almost feel like for the first time in a very long time, no one seems to be giving credence to the representation of their wants and needs.
Yeah. And I think I think a lot of politicians in this case, I mean, we're going to talk about probably on the postmortem show, the fact that John Kasich, Mr. Reasonable in the Republican field, is just about to sign an anti-abortion law in Ohio that's pegged off of defunding Planned Parenthood, cutting to the chase, that's pegged off of these Center for Medical Progress videos that have been entirely disproven. But within that bubble, it's all justified. So you have people that are so ensconced. I'm talking about the people we were just discussing who do nothing but watch Fox News Channel. to them, people like David Fry, for example, one of the Oregon militiamen, believes that the government is funding abortion, that the government is funneling money to Planned Parenthood, when in fact nothing like that is actually taking place. And so it's a matter of observing from a perspective of reasonable, rational, objective reality, a series of people on both ends of the political spectrum who are completely detached, like completely unhinged from reality in just about every way.
Yeah.
And so there's no real way to argue with them. There's no real way to get any points past them. There's no way to get them to understand that what they're saying is based upon strategically manufactured propaganda. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, right, especially
it's,
for these
it's
Oregon
based
guys.
Upon people who will pander to their fears, their paranoia, and their beliefs about what can be accomplished and what absolutely cannot. Their complete lack of reason. People who will entertain and indulge those kinds of notions.
We're gonna
on both sides of the political spectrum, which both sides are now not even an inch apart. I believe they actually in some ways overlap.
All right, we're going to talk about what's happening on the left end of that spectrum after we talk about Harry's Razors. All right, we're talking about Harry's Razors. I can honestly understand why hipsters are growing their big, bushy Civil War beards. Razors, they're just too damn expensive. And even after you buy them, they burn the hell out of your face. I used to have a full beard myself, but when I started shaving again, I'd always get these, I'd always get razor burn under my chin and down my neck. I'd shave, and then I'd look like Dick Cheney shot me in the face. That was basically it. That is until I became a Harry's true believer. Their German-engineered five-blade razors are truly revolutionary. Here's how you can become a Harry's true believer, too. Go to harrys.com and pick up the Harry's Starter Set. It's an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and three razor blades. Best of all, I've been shaving with Harry's for weeks now and no razor burn. Just a smooth, close shave every time, and it feels great. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANC, B-A-N-D-C, for Bob and Chez. You get $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face and your legs and your armpits with Harry's Razors. Go do it now. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome back to our Tuesday show. Thanks for joining us today.
Our Tuesday show?
Is it our Tuesday show? What day is it? Thursday?
It's
Tuesday?
Our Thursday show.
Thursday show. Thank you. They all melt together now.
It really does, doesn't it?
Oh, God. All right, so we got to talk about this. This is the thing that I spotted this morning right as I rolled out of bed and turned on my computer and looked at Facebook. There's a website out there, and there's an accompanying Facebook page that goes along with it called U.S. Uncut. It's one of these bargain basement.
And it's not a porn site.
Right. It's not like a uncircumcised porn site. It's basically like a clearinghouse for Bernie Sanders information and,
yes.
God, what would you even call it? Propaganda?
It's,
I don't know.
It's nothing but, you know, and by the way, I will call Hillary stuff that's all pro-Hillary, I will call that propaganda too. I think there's a site called Newsbin that, right, that puts up nothing but stories that are basically Hillary propaganda. But U.S. Uncut, absolutely nothing but pro-Bernie propaganda.
That's right. And just to follow up what you were saying about Hillary Clinton, what we're about to talk about, if this was coming from Hillary Clinton supporters, I would be saying the exact same thing. And those of you who have followed my work, Chez's work, our show, know that we would absolutely call Hillary Clinton people on the carpet for this too. But this thing, I just couldn't believe.
But as it turns out, this is the kind of thing that is sort of specifically intrinsic to the far left.
Exactly. All right. So, as you know, as we have discussed here on this show, as I have written about on many occasions, there is something on the Democratic side called superdelegates. And it's something, it's a relatively new invention. I think the superdelegates emerged in, like, I want to say the mid-80s. That part of the process, part of the Democratic primary process. And you know, whatever the justifications are, that's the way the Democratic Party derives a nominee, or at least part of the way. There are delegates that are assigned based on votes, and then there are uncommitted delegates, otherwise known as superdelegates, who are basically Democratic government officials at the state and federal level who also, you know, represent each of them one delegate.
Right. And at the moment, superdelegates are pledged, and that can change, by the way.
Yeah.
But superdelegates are pledged to Clinton as at last check, basically, she's beating Bernie Sanders by 45-1.
That's right.
By a measure, of like 40% percentage-wise.
Yeah, by a measure. I think it's something like the total is, I have the number here. It said, the AP reports, in the overall race for delegates, Clinton has 394, thanks in large part to endorsements from superdelegates, party officials who can support the candidate of their choice. Sanders has 42.
Which, by the way, should not be a surprise when you consider the fact that Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. You need to consider, you know, Matt Osborne, let's pause for just a moment. Osborne wrote something extraordinary yesterday. He published this really, really lengthy piece dissecting U.S. politics, Democratic politics, and the Sanders campaign.
Yeah.
And he said one of the points he made about as sort of an issue with Sanders is that Bernie needs the Democratic Party more than the Democratic Party needs him.
That's exactly
he
right.
ran as a Democrat for two reasons. One was, yes, to not be a spoiler and to pull, you know, potentially pull Hillary to the left. Mm-hmm. But he also ran because a third party candidate probably wouldn't win.
Yeah.
But when you run on the Democratic ticket, when you run as a Democrat, you're getting that, even if nobody else in the party likes you, you're getting that automatic sort of stage, that backing.
Yeah.
That he's not an outsider, he's an insider, and that he can do this. He has electability.
Yeah, it's the difference between
that sheen of electability.
It's the difference between starting your own movie studio and then selling your movie to 20th Century Fox or something.
Exactly.
There's a big difference between what you're going to get from the big studio versus your own independent studio.
Exactly. But remember that while Bernie caucuses with the Democrats,
yep,
as a senator, he is not a Democrat. It is not surprising in the least that the Democrats within Congress, many of whom, as we've mentioned on this show, he's not doing anything for in terms of he's not trying to earn the money. He's not doing anything that would even make overtures that he's interested in being the head of the party, which is sort of what de facto the nominee is, the nominee,
right,
and then eventual, hopefully eventual president. It's not a shock at all that they're not interested in voting for him. They're not interested in throwing their support behind him right now. That can change again.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something I wrote in May of 2015. It was basically several challenges facing the Bernie Sanders candidacy. This is right after he was declaring his campaign for president. Number three I wrote here was superdelegates and winning the nomination. I wrote, remember in 2008, the Democratic nomination fracas between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, 20% of the necessary delegates required for the nomination came from unpledged superdelegates who had enough power to throw a tight nomination battle in either direction, or worse, to a contested convention. Does an independent turned Democrat have the superdelegate support of someone like Clinton or O'Malley, for that matter, knowing that each candidate's been schmoozing party apparatchiks for many, many years? 2008 taught us that the Democratic nomination isn't solely decided by voters. Without superdelegate support, Sanders is entering the race with a 20% deficit. Unless Sanders runs a flawless campaign and reassures enough superdelegates that he's capable of defeating the Republican nominee, he doesn't have a shot. And I wrote that almost a year ago. And that's what's coming to fruition now. The fact of the matter is that in terms of the endorsements right now, and these are endorsements from party officials, not Democratic, not DNC officials, but specifically elected Democratic politicians, members of Congress, governors, senators, and so forth. And so Hillary Clinton now leads that endorsement aspect of the primary 466-2. And that makes, I mean, it may seem weird, but then when you couple that with the idea that superdelegates are going to decide a tight primary race, then it suddenly matters, doesn't it? The endorsements translate into superdelegate votes, et cetera, that translates to victory. Okay, so now, this is a system we've had for 30 years now. All right, Barack Obama won under this system. Bill Clinton won under this superdelegate system. But now, because Bernie Sanders is neck and neck, maybe losing a little bit, we got to put the system on trial. That's what we're hearing now, ever since Iowa. That's what we're hearing, that the system is corrupt because of the superdelegates, which have been in existence for three decades now. How does that work? I don't know. But then that brings us back to this website, US Uncut, which is, again, it's not, don't mistake it for a blog. Don't mistake it for a news source or
whatever
news outlet.
You do not mistake it for a news source, for a news site, because I see people linking to it all the time. And I've actually, you know, for Bernie fans who are friends of mine on Facebook, I make it a point. You know, if they put it up more than once, they put it up a couple times, it's like proof that America's feeling the burn. Yeah. I'm just always like, look, you need to stop linking US Uncut. Because US Uncut says nothing but you know, nothing but propaganda, pro-Bernie propaganda.
Exactly. And the guy who founded that site and who runs that site is a guy named Mark Provost. And Mark Provost, if you've interacted with him at all on social media or something like that, you'd know that Mark Provost is like a Snowdenite. He's like one of these guys who opposed Barack Obama, who's a kill the bill kind of guy, who's a Obama is worse than Bush kind of guy. The typical people that Chez and I bitch about on nearly every show. Whenever we talk about
progressive. He's what was known for a long time as an emo prog.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. That's exactly right. So he's got also this US Uncut Facebook page, which I don't mind saying has, good God, 1.4 million likes. 1.4 million likes. That is a massive, massive reach on Facebook. I mean, far beyond what our Facebook page has, certainly. Far beyond the Daily Banter's Facebook page. Far beyond Salon.com's Facebook page, quite frankly. How does this happen?
Because it's unlike people who are thoughtful.
Yeah.
And who go to, I mean, God, and it's Salon. Even Salon doesn't always get people who are thoughtful. It gets mostly people who are to the left.
Yeah.
But whereas it's kind of like the Fox News thing. Unlike people who are thoughtful, who are just, oh, you know what, I get some good stories from them. This is by people who are, this is a site that caters to and is joined by people who are zealots.
Exactly.
And that's all it does. It feeds zealotry.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It feeds their zealotry. It feeds their confirmation biases.
It's an echo chamber for ideologues on the left.
Exactly. Perfectly put.
Right. Yes. Nothing comes from outside that bubble. So there is, there's indeed a bubble on the left, too. It's not as massive as the one on the right, but it does exist. And US Uncut is sort of a newbie to the game, but certainly with a ton of power. I mean, again, I can't underscore enough how massive. Salon.com has just over 800,000 likes on Facebook. This site, 1.4 million. And okay, we're going to get into the specifics of exactly why this is a problem. After a quick break, we'll be back with more after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez Show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobsesca.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
As always, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSuska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link. It's just below the logo at BobSuska.com. You can't miss it. Big capital letters. Click that link, and we get a small commission from everything you buy at Amazon.com. It costs you nothing extra, and it helps support the show. Thank you in advance for that. Also, be sure to support us at Patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Also, that link at the top of the page, just under the logo. Big capital letters, just like the Amazon link. Just go to Patreon. You can sign up at $1, $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll tell you more in a little bit about that, too. So, okay. This thing on US Uncut really pissed me off, and here it is. There's a Facebook post that went up about 22 hours ago, and it has everything to do with the superdelegates. It links the article from U.S. Uncut titled, "The DNC Just Screwed Over Bernie Sanders and Spit in Voters' Faces."
Yeah.
That's the headline. Now, that's neither here nor there. That's the sort of thing that you can expect from over there at that website. But then the first comment, which is weird, for some reason they didn't start their own thread with this. It's a comment under this article post that now has 5,018 likes. It goes like this. Of course, it's written by US Uncut. And by the way, they get a blue check next to their name. I don't know how that happened. That means they're a verified account. I guess they know someone at Facebook. Action alert in all capital letters.
Thank you, Commander Adama.
In the coming days, US Uncut and allies will launch plans to mobilize tens of thousands of revolutionaries to confront the Democratic National Committee in Philadelphia this July. We are going to make history Seattle WTO 1999 style, Chicago DNC 68 style, Baltimore Uprising 2015 style.
In other words, violence.
Exactly. Who's ready to shut down? That's the actual post. And then underneath it says a follow-up reply post here in the comments. We are currently based in Philadelphia. We will coordinate with local allies and churches. That's weird.
Churches? Well, again, there it is. It's like, you know, the right and the left.
Yeah. We will coordinate with local allies and churches to find housing and everything else we need. This will be an all-out mobilization with hundreds of organizations to make history. All right. So that's what they're planning to do. I'm not sure whether or not this is actually going to happen. How many times have we read a story on this show in which some right-wing group is going to stage a revolution, a march on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., or at the Capitol building, where they're going to have, once and for all, they're going to have a revolution, and they're going to overthrow the government. And this is what they're going to do. And make sure to get your permits and licenses to protest. Thank you very much. Even though we're trying to overthrow the government, got to make sure we get our permits.
I don't know. You know what? Bringing out the sort of, for lack of a better term, I don't like to use the term that was used to describe them, since I'm not sure that's exactly what they are, but the anarchist crowd, yeah, getting them riled up is not that difficult.
No, certainly not. I mean, this is what they want to do, and it's entirely over the superdelegates. The fact that at this point, I mean basically
my concern is I'm wondering what their thinking will be if Hillary wins basically the South.
Yeah.
If Hillary does well in Nevada, does well in South Carolina, cleans up on Super Tuesday, cleans up on the 15th. If she legitimately and without question turns the tide of voting, mm-hmm, in this, you know, gets back the narrative by virtue of a pretty substantial and unquestionable showing with the voters.
That's right.
I guarantee they'll still suggest doing it. Mm-hmm. I guarantee that, because I don't think this is about democracy for them.
Well,
they've proven over and over again they have no fucking clue how the system works, nor do they really care.
But this is going to happen regardless of how anything works out.
Man, that's what I mean.
I mean, this will even happen. I mean, I think what they're assuming is that Bernie Sanders is not going to win the nomination, which is kind of a defeatist way for these Bernie supporters to be behaving. I mean, if their assumption is that he's already going to lose and that we're going to go protest now and we're going to start planning this now.
But what they're doing is they're tying it to the superdelegates.
Yeah.
What if, you know, they're saying like the first thing, you know, it's 1 + 2 = 3. The first thing they talk about is you know, this thing that the superdelegates are, it's a rigged system.
Yeah.
And then they say, you know what, because of the superdelegates, we're going to have action alert, you know, action stations. Mm. We're going to have this big protest. But what if the superdelegates don't even really enter into it? Meaning that, you know, meaning that you can look at the math by sheer voter count and say, all right, well, look, it makes sense for you know, Hillary Clinton to win.
It doesn't matter.
She was duly elected by the people. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. No. Yeah, because I think that no matter what happens, their whole thing is system's broken, man. Yeah, it's all corrupt.
I mean, here's their justification. It doesn't have to be a matter of the superdelegates swinging the election one way or another. It doesn't have to be close for them to be pissed off. What they're infuriated about right now is the overall system that's manufactured this climate and could possibly swing the election in one direction or another. On top of the idea that we're talking about people who aren't really basing their projections for this on actual numbers and precedent and history and polling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're basing this on, for lack of a better term, wishful thinking. Like, their fantasy is that between now and the next several primaries, Bernie Sanders will build up this magical momentum that will push him toward the nomination, and something will happen. Weird people will come out of the woodworks and start voting for Bernie. And then what's actually going on is different from that. So if the superdelegates in New Hampshire and Iowa say, all right, we're pledging most of our support to Hillary Clinton, that damages that momentum, you see. That damages and stalls that Bernie Sanders momentum that otherwise would have been there if there hadn't been for superdelegates. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, no, I get what you're saying.
So therefore, the existence of superdelegates are actually reining in Bernie Sanders' momentum and preventing him from overtaking Hillary Clinton this early in the primary season. Yeah. So therefore, it is by nature corrupt, and so we have got to shut it down. And they don't mind doing this because they belong to the Underpants Gnome business model, which is revolution, question mark, question mark, question mark. Number three, democracy.
Yeah.
That's the Glenn Greenwald theory of politics and how we should change things.
Yeah. There's all this space in between that you're like, what? How are you planning to get from point A to point B?
Yeah. And I hate to say it, this is the one thing.
You don't just do point one and then point C magically happens.
And you know what? I know you don't love this word, but look, you know what ties...
Did I just mix up numbers and alphabets? I totally did. In the alphabet. I'm just... both of us today.
Well, you know, I know. I'm having trouble speaking today. The thing is, you know what ties the Oregon militia together with the this U.S. uncut action alert? Mm. It's two words, and I know you love these two words. White privilege. Ultimately, this comes down to white privilege.
The
need to overthrow the system, regardless of how many people will be screwed in that process. Screwed. Right. I mean, screwed, screwed, screwed.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't care if all kinds of people are disenfranchised. All kinds of people die in poverty. It doesn't matter as long as we overturn the system, and then somewhere down the road, magically, there will be magic. A progressive utopia will emerge out of that. Okay, sure. But if you tell me number two,
burn it all down and start again. It is an anarchist way of thinking.
You know, and I know I'm ranting now, and we've got to take we're late for a break. But I just want to throw this out there again that, you know, I'm planning on one of my first pieces for the Daily Banter when I start back at the Daily Banter next week is going to be a piece along the lines of an open letter to Bernie Sanders. And the open letter to Bernie Sanders is basically going to be this. If Bernie Sanders wanted my vote, and my vote is still, quite frankly, up for grabs at this point in the California primary. If he wants my vote, don't just tell me that you're going to pass single payer. Tell me that you're doing the hard work with your advisors and that you figured out a path to achieving that in, say, 10 years. What is the 10-year plan for achieving that? In other words, fill in those question marks in the number two item in the Underpants Gnome business model. That's what I want to know. And if you can tell me that you've done the hard work, that to me, that shows character and that shows planning. And that shows consideration to the process, because the people who are skeptical about Bernie Sanders, the reason they're skeptical is not because Bernie Sanders is some dick out there. It's that Bernie Sanders needs to make it clear that he's figured out a way to do it. Otherwise, it's like saying Bernie Sanders going around saying, OK, I'm going to give every man, woman and child in the United States $1 million. Well, how will that happen? Because it's without the how, it's nothing but fantasy. Yeah. See, and that's where, you know, people like Chez end up posting pictures of unicorns, because otherwise, without the how, it is fantasy. It is so far outside the box. It's not like Hillary Clinton saying, yeah, I want to make sure the middle class get a better deal. It's not like that, because you can kind of see that's logical. You can kind of see how that could possibly be achieved, apart from the fact that it's center left and a little closer to the center, which tends to be more practical by nature. But this stuff that Bernie Sanders is talking about is, you ask any Bernie Sanders supporter and they'll admit that it's outside the box. So we need to know those question marks. Tell us what the question marks are going to be, and revolution. Then you will win the nomination. Revolution.
That's it. That's the answer.
Right.
Feel the burn. Revolution. Elect Bernie Sanders. ?
Mm-hmm.
Everything's better.
Exactly.
Free college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm not arguing with. I don't think that's a terrible idea at all.
And if the Bernie Sanders supporters want to win over some of the Clinton supporters, or some of the undecideds on the Democratic side, fill in those blanks. That's all I'm saying. That's what's missing in the Bernie Sanders message. It is the question marks that have yet to be. You know what I mean? All right. We're going to get into this a little more after a break. Back after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to the show.
Fucking live wire.
Love this song. Okay. I mean, if I ask you how Bernie Sanders intends to achieve single payer, if you answer the question with revolution, dude, most people are going to think you're full of shit.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Revolution, dude, probably not the strongest answer you can give. And I just think that this is, you know, and it sounds like I'm bitching and I'm yelling and scolding.
And if you press further, then it turns into, well, you know what? Even Bernie has said that he can't do it alone. You know, we have to elect, you know, people to Congress who will, you know, who will support him and will let him pass his agenda. Okay, considering gerrymandering and the way the makeup is right now and basically the way people vote in areas that aren't yours, how the f*** are you going to do that?
Yeah. I want to know how you're going to get around the fact that if you primary challenge red state blue dog Democrats, that's going to weaken them for the general election. They're going to lose to a Republican. There are things that are just common sense aspects of the political system in the United States. Like I said, you know, you start primary challenging these people and it's, you know, it's more Republicans, not more progressives.
And I guess I feel like, you know, I mean, well, I look at it two ways. On the one hand, it's like I understood the sort of youth uprising of the 60s. I mean, they could be shipped. Kids could be shipped off to war.
Yeah.
You know, people, leaders were being assassinated. There was blatant racism. Mm. You know, there was definitely a change that was necessary. And I look at them now, and you just said it, and I've said it many times. The idea of getting angry over what really amount to small issues, microaggressions, that's baby shit. That's privilege. It's the product of privilege. Your lives have been so good for so long that you don't even see how good you've got it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I will say that getting angry about the economic system, which Bernie has tapped into, that's legit.
Exactly.
There is a very serious issue with wealth inequality in this country.
Right.
But the problem is, I think that there's more than that going on. I think that there are other issues that a president has to 100% be required to know about. And man, you ask Bernie about any of that shit, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but you ask Bernie about any of that, he just folds. He has no fucking clue how to talk about any of that. And he always pivots right back to, well, wealth inequality. Got to break up the big banks. Okay, awesome. What else?
Yeah.
Help me. What else besides that?
Yeah, and ultimately, it's just a matter of, I think, discovering the how. And yes, there's wealth inequality. And yeah, that's a major injustice in the United States and its economic system. Tell me how it's going to change, and there it is. That's the
and
whole
what you're
going
to do about changing it.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, it just can't be whatever solution or whatever a process to that end that you yank out of your ass. It has to be something that's viable, and that's all we're looking for: viable ways. I mean, I don't think anyone denies that there are things. And major downsides in the American system. It's just, how do we change it without destroying lives? How do we break up the big banks and basically, if not entirely eliminate them, downplay the role of the private for-profit healthcare industry?
Right.
Without causing a major recession.
Yeah, and how do we do this without fundamentally changing who we are as a country?
Yeah.
Because I do believe that at its heart, I think America, is a pretty good place. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Jesus Christ now. I mean, who knows? But, and I also think that the idea of capitalism is a good one, as long as it's not taken to such an extreme that it's destroying people's lives.
That's right. So it's
regulated capitalism.
So, I mean, maybe these are answers that are yet to come. Maybe these are answers that we're going to get before Super Tuesday or before, hell, there's a debate tonight. Maybe it's going to happen tonight. It's going to be a Democratic debate on PBS. Maybe we'll hear a little bit more about what those question marks are tonight. But in the interim, we're not getting any of that. And that's frustrating. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders is questioning Obama's leadership. I mean, basically coming right out and saying it, that Obama failed to do what he promised to do. Which is to reach across the aisle and bring Republicans together, blah, blah, blah. Article from Politico titled, Bernie Sanders Questions Obama's Leadership, the Vermont
and
Senator.
By the way, if anybody can bring this country together and reach across the aisle and bring Republicans into his agenda, it's a Democratic Socialist.
Yeah, but don't you know the Republicans support Bernie Sanders?
They do, totally, man. Well, Hillary Clinton, she can't do it either. Thank you. That's a good argument.
Right.
That's a really good argument, bearded knit hat.
Bernie Sanders questioned President Barack Obama's leadership in a new interview, suggesting that he would be able to close a divide between Americans and government that the Obama administration has left open throughout his presidency. It's the lightest salvo from Sanders, who has, intentionally or unintentionally, been engaging in an escalating war of words with the man who 8 years ago was building his own political revolution. Quote, there's a huge gap right now between Congress and the American people, Sanders said Wednesday in an interview with MSNBC that'll air on Thursday evening on Lawrence O'Donnell. Quote, what presidential leadership is about is closing that gap. Basically, so he's basically saying that Obama failed to close that gap. You know what,
man?
I can't remember a president in my lifetime who more actively, to his own detriment, especially with his base, time and time again, reached across the aisle. The whole reason Obamacare got passed in the first place is because it was something that the Republicans came up with in the 90s as an alternative to Hillary care. It was something that Mitt Romney did in Massachusetts. And so now this is, this, he's failed to do this? What more could he have done? Exactly. You know, I just, and, you know,
and Bert, that
I
mean, just, as many that times, is fantasy land. I mean, the irony that Bernie Sanders is saying that. A guy who could never in a million fucking years bring Republicans on board with his agenda, ever.
Mm-hmm. So he went on to say, but I think what we need when I talk about a political revolution is bringing millions and millions of people into the political process in a way that does not exist right now. He said, you know what? I mean, this, I'm going to get really caustic here and we're going to lose listeners because of it. I know we're going to lose listeners because of the show and we've probably lost a few Patreon subscribers as well in the process. But you know what? So what? So what? The reality is that Bernie Sanders can get on the stump or get onto TV or do television interviews, use the word minorities all he wants. And it's not going to mitigate the fact that he has, without necessarily naming names, he has made this current president, President Barack Obama, into the biggest Republican presidential failure in our history. Well, at least since George W. Bush. It's like the continuation of the George W. Bush administration. That's what people are hearing. People are hearing, wow, things are really terrible. Who's president? Who's usually accountable for terrible things? Must be Barack Obama. What party is he from? The Democratic Party? Oh, well, screw that. Who wants another Democrat in office?
Exactly.
You know, this is the kind of crap that's driving Obama supporters, frankly, Obama supporters like me, and on top of that, and more importantly, as a significant demographic of the Democratic vote, African-American voters.
Yeah. You're saying that the first black president of the United States, first black person ever elected to that office, has been an abject failure, and he's done nothing for anybody. And yeah, he's Bush 2.
That's right.
Or Bush 3.
Well, you know, he is the leader of the Democratic Party, which makes him, you know, establishment. Bad word. Establishment. And look, you know, this is all stuff that I believe Bernie Sanders supporters are going to discover after it's too late. Things that they should have done different. They're not going to admit it, but certainly I think that's going to be the case. There's going to be a realization after all of this, after the heartbreak that's going to occur. And I don't know what else to say, really. I mean, because it was all laid out, and you know, you build something on wishful thinking, and it's not a really solid basis for victory.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you know, again, this is probably as harsh as I've ever gotten about the Bernie Sanders campaign. And honest to God, it's not fun, because this is something that I'd really like, in my heart of hearts, to succeed. I'd really like to see more of this as a serious part of the discussion. More discussion on the Democratic side of, how do we do single payer? How do we reinstate Glass-Steagall? How do we confront the climate crisis? These are things that Bernie Sanders is talking about, but it's being presented in a way that's not only to the point of being antagonistic to the idea of preventing another Republican president from overturning everything Obama did, but it's also turning off a lot of people who would otherwise have supported Bernie Sanders. Like me, for that matter. Because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of idealistic aspects of me still remaining, even though I'm in my mid-40s. I just want it to change. I want things to change, but I'm not seeing the path to that change.
Right.
All right, Postmortem Show coming up next. It's at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. If you want to hear it, sign up at $5 a month, and you get the Postmortem Show. See you on it. Bye-bye.